I would like to start just before just a short hakdama about the Zichron Gedalia Beis Medrash. We started this a little bit over a year ago when Rabbi Ben Zalkiel Zocher was alive. This idea of having the members of the Kollel learn with people from the community. The combination of Rabbi Einemar told us then that the combination of his loves, learning Torah, number one, the yeshiva, number two, yeshiva the Kollel, number two, and the shul, number three, the combination of everything together was very, very dear to him. After he was nifter, so the question came up, we came up with the idea of naming the Beis Medrash after him, and we spoke to Rebbetzin about it, and she felt that was very appropriate. And we named the Beis Medrash, which we do every Tuesday night, the Beis Medrash Zichron Gedalia, after Rabbi Einemar Zichron Livracha, where the members of the Yeshiva Kollel come to learn with members of the community. Rabbi Rosman pointed out to me when we did that, that many ideas had come to Rabbi Einemar, different ideas had come to her of putting Rabbi Einemar's name on different ideas, etc. And nothing fired her imagination like the idea of the Beis Medrash, because she felt that really caught the essence of Rabbi Einemar was the Limud of Torah combined with the shul, the community, the yeshiva together. It was so many elements of which represented his life, so it was very special to her and very dear to her, and we named the Beis Medrash after Rabbi Einemar. So this class is the last session before Pesach in the Beis Medrash Zichron Gedalia. Eventually we'll be picking up again after Pesach. Any of you are not coming, and you can make it for Tuesday nights. It's from 8 to 9. There are harusas, there are shiurim available. Right now we're aiming at the men, not at the women. Some point in time, if it's possible, we'd like to add a women's class at some point in time. Right now, we're aiming at the men. Okay, one of the areas which I think there's three points I want to aim to, three mistakes I think, or three challenges which people have when it comes to the Seder night, which prevents them from taking out of the Seder night what they need to take out of the Seder night. One of them is, which is a very wonderful thing, that many schools send the children home with Divrei Torah. Many Divrei Torah about the Haggadah, etc. A parent comes home, child comes in with a whole list of Divrei Torah that they want to say, things that they learned in class. And Rosh Rav Zatzal used to say, the mitzvah has changed from he got it to Levincha to he got it to Levicha. So that's not the mitzvah, he says. The mitzvah still is he got it to Levincha. That's number one. Now, obviously, a child has to be given opportunity. They have things that they want to say, the things which are important they should say. They should be given opportunity to say something, but the main thrust of the night of the Seder is really the father, the mother giving over to the children. The Divrei Torah that they've come home with, obviously, can be said by the Suda, by Suda by day. There's a lot of Sudas which come up over Pesach, when there's opportunities for people to say the Divrei Torah from which they came home from school. Second thing I think what some people have is many times, especially people which came into learning Torah at a later age, sometimes they feel somewhat intimidated by telling to their children because the children know more than them. You know, the children are learning Divrei Torah, children know a lot more than them, they've been exposed, etc. And they wonder, like, what do I have to tell them that they don't know already? So that's the main point I want to try and address tonight, is that I believe that the parents have a tremendous amount to teach their children, tremendous amount to say to their children, and that is, I think, believe that is the mitzvah of the night, is that they should take their life experience and their understanding of what Yiddishkeit is, which as much as a child might know, and information that they have, but understanding and depth of experience a child does not have. And that's what a parent has to offer a child. A father, a mother has to offer a child way beyond what a child can come back with from school. That being said, what I like to do, we do a few things in my Seder. One thing we do is we give prizes for questions, as opposed to prizes for saying the Ritara. We give prizes for questions. So I have a bag of nuts, and every question that each child has a cup. Every question that they ask, they get a cut. They get a nut into their cup, and after it comes to Lamoid, the nuts are redeemed for. Of course, if you eat it beforehand, you lose, right? But the nuts are redeemed for some type of prize. So the more questions you ask, the more prizes you're going to get. So the point is, the child's goal, the focus of the child is to ask questions to see what they can. And any question counts. You know, be the most. As far as I'm concerned, it can be the most non-on-target question. You're asking questions, you're in the right mode, and that's the goal that we try into. But more than that, I think what I'm trying to do is to use themes. There's a famous moshe from the Dibna Magid that once one person, someone asked the Dibna Magid, he always has a tremendous moshe for everything. How do you come up with for a moshe, for some type of analogy for every single thing that you have? So he says, well, I'll answer you with a moshe, of course, right? And he says that one time a person was walking and he passes by this barn and he sees on this barn that there are targets for archery practice on the barn. And every one of the targets has an arrow in the bullseye. So the man is just overwhelmed at this person's prowess in archery, and he said, I have to meet this archer. See, he goes to the door of the farmhouse, he says, excuse me, sir, knocks on the door, says, excuse me, sir, can you tell me how you do that? It's just overwhelming. Your prowess in your archery is just so overwhelming. How do you do it? He says, I'll tell you, it's very simple. First thing I do is I shoot the arrow at the barn. Then I draw the target around the arrow. Okay. So the Magid says, you think I start with a chazal and I look for a moshul which fits the chazal. It's the opposite. I start with a moshul, I find a chazal which fits the moshul. That's how the Magid answered the question. So what we do Seder night, many people, you come and you look for Divrei Torah about this and about that. We look through, we try to find something to say. We call through the Haggadahs, Hebrew Haggadahs, English Haggadahs, whatever, and we try and find something which you want to say, what we want to say. I suggest maybe we should do something different. Person take, okay, the night of Pesach is the night the parent sits down and transmits his Masorah to his children. Gives a message over, what is the message I, as a Jewish father, Jewish mother, want to make sure my children walk away with? What are the lessons about life that I think is important they should know? And there are many themes which we're going to go through a list of a few. I have a list of 15 different ideas, and again, of course, it's not exhaustive. There are many more, but these are the ones which came to me, ideas that I would suggest people should be wanting to transmit to their children. The next step is, now that I know what I want to say, go through the Haggadah and find places in the Haggadah where I can stick that in. So I'm starting from the other direction. So I have something important which I want to tell them. I feel comfortable with it because it's something which I believe in, I'm passionate about, I feel knowledgeable about, I feel I have a depth of experience about. So it's going to come across with a lot more depth because it's something which talks to me. And then when I do that, I'm going to find here in the Haggadah, there in the Haggadah, I think it's giving a lot across that message. Of course, you could find maybe one of the portion of the Haggadah, one of the commentaries says that idea over there. You might want to suggest it yourself. You might want to stretch it a little bit. You know, again, the point is, the purpose of the night of Pesach is that a person should walk away with, a child should walk away with an understanding of what we believe is important they should understand about Yiddishkeit. Now, the whole year, we really should be doing this the whole year, obviously, and we do this by osmosis. What we believe in, of course, is going to be transmitted to our children. So there's the nonverbal message that we give to our children. And the nonverbal message, of course, is stronger than the verbal message, and we know that. That the nonverbal message, I tell my child it's important to live with integrity, but I don't live like that, you know, they're not going to get it, obviously. But they see me living with integrity and keeping to my word, they're going to see that's important. But at the same time, it's important to verbalize it also. Maybe the whole year we don't necessarily do this via Shabbos Suda or whatever opportunity we have. But the night of Pesach, that's the goal. The night of Pesach is to give that message over to the children. That being said, of course, the night of Pesach is, I think, a very significant night. And we have to make sure that the balance that we have of it's a serious night, it's a night to give over important messages. You have to balance that, of course, with the child's ability to listen, depending on the age of the child, depending on each child is different. Some child can listen longer. And we have to find ways to convey to a child in a way which will be effective for that child. But at the same time, we don't want to, sometimes in our zest and our goal to make sure they feel good about the night of Pesach, sometimes we trivialize it a little bit too much. You know, because you want to make the kids enjoy. So you do this acting, different things, etc., which maybe that's not the message you want to make sure that you're giving across, is this important message. You're balancing that with you know, one person suggests, you know, says, you know, ping pong balls for Borod, it's not necessarily going to be compatible. Ping pong balls for Borod and this deep message you're giving to your child. So your person has to pick and choose what they feel is important. And we'll talk about that more as we go along. Okay, so now, this might be a little bit new for us, and there's we live in Chutz La'aretz, Bez Mashiach should come, we'll live in Eretz Yisrael, and only have one page, let's say, this year. I just want to point out to you, parenthetically, all of you have bought matzah already, if Mashiach comes, you cannot use that matzah is tameh, you can't use it together with the Korban Pesach, and you should also, those who have bought matzah already, should need new matzah for this coming Yom Tov, Bez Hashem, will be in Yerushalayim or Kodesh, with the Korban Pesach, and you'll need new matzah. Okay, so you have two storim. We live in Chutz La'aretz, we have two storim. So I would possibly suggest, if this is something where a person is just learning and getting used to, don't do a ghost storim. Do one seder the way you used to, the way you've been doing until now, and try one, the other seder, do something different, to do something a little bit more challenging, to try and make it do the system, and see how it goes. You know? So at least you, it didn't work for you, you got one seder which you did in a way that you're comfortable with. Okay, some of the themes that I came up with, and again, I came up with 15 of them, and obviously that's not an exhaustive list. I'll explain where some of them came from, and then what I'm going to do, after we go through I'm going to take two of them and walk through the Haggadah a little bit with them. And one of the things I want to do also is the idea of using Mashalim to bring out these themes. Because with children, many adults also, the best way to understand a theme, an idea, is through a mashal. And I encourage you to make your own mashalim. It could be real-life examples that you've thought of, or just the stories that you come up with. The more creative, and the more you're willing to let your hair down a little bit, the pay is down, right? And relax and tell a good mashal, the better. The more, you know, it's going to come across with the passion and excitement. Okay, the first one, the most obvious one is, we believe in a Kodesh Baruch. Hashem is real. Hashem is the reality of the world. And that's clear in the Torah. That's the purpose of the Makkos. It says it three times in the Makkos. It says, L'man Tedak, Yani Hashem. The Makkos came and you should know that I am Hashem. Then it says, you should know He Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, be careful order. I know I am Hashem, but I am Hashem who controls the world. And then the third time it says, so there's nobody who can withstand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's in Parshas Ve'eru. Beginning of Parshas Bo, it says, "Lamanta sarav bazei vimcha uven mincha esesh ishalati b'tzrayim v'esosayish v'samti bom v'idaten kiyam v'yashem." And you will know that I am Hashem. So obviously, one of the main goals of the night of Pesach is to give across a message about Hashem. That Hashem is in control of the world. We believe in Hashem. Hashem is in control of the world. Hashem is, there's nobody like Hashem. There's no power anything like Hashem. And that's the message you want to give to your children the night of the Pesach. That's clear in the Pesukim that that's the goal of the night of Pesach. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. This is you should tell your children that which I verses that I toyed with Mitzrayim, that I punished them and I canceled with them. I could have destroyed them immediately, and I played it out slowly, step by step, that you should be able to get different messages and lessons about what Hashem is all about from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So obviously, you want to give that over to your children. The Makkos. The Rashi says in Chumash in one place, Rashi says the Makkos, this is the second thing. The Makkos, later on it says that Christ was promised that if they do what they're supposed to do, they will not receive the Makkos of Mitzrayim. Because Rashi says, because you challenge somebody and you warn them with something that they're scared of. And Christ was scared of the Makkos. When they saw the Makkos, they said, Oy vey, it shouldn't come to us. The Makkos instill the fear of Hashem in Christ. So Yiras Hashem is very important. The first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch talks about the idea of Yiras Hashem. And he says there's one of the six mitzvahs which is constant, is the idea of the awe of Hashem. We have to have the awe of Hashem's power. Well, the Makkos taught us the awe of Hashem's power. And that's why I say we don't want to trivialize the Makkos, because the Makkos, when we talk about them and we elaborate them based on Midrashim and the Chazal, what they were like, and we get a picture of what the Russian's power, what he did to Mitzrayim, it's a chance for us to get a Yerushalayim for ourselves and for our children. So that's something which we don't want to miss that opportunity by making it seem to, you know, classic frogs doesn't give that message. Frogs, which can claw through somebody's body, with the way Chazal said, and they did that, is a little more powerful message about Yirah Shamayim. You start describing that in detail with your, to your children. A little bit scary, right? I think, you know, some kids might be, like, you have to know your children. Kids will have nightmares afterwards. But that's a powerful message. You try and take, when you talk to someone again, you have to know who you're talking to. Younger children is a little bit not so safe. And an older child, you were chasing the dog one time. What did you feel like? You were scared. Can you imagine what Mitzrayim felt like when bears were coming down the street? And describe what that fear was. And that's the awe. That was the punishment to Mitzrayim. And that was the awe that Christ learned what a Kodesh Baruch Hu could unleash on Mitzrayim. So the goal over here is to give across a message of Yirah Shamayim. That's the second theme. The third theme is Ava. Look what a Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He gave us the Torah. You see, the Mitzrayim led to Kriyas Yamsuf, to Matan Torah. Look at the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then you go to the Dayenus, as we call them. And we go through 15 different things that Kodesh Baruch Hu did for Kleisel. Extraordinary things. That the Russian took care of Kleisel and Midrash for 40 years. They gave us Eretz Yisrael. He gave us the Beis HaMikdash. The Ava we have for Kodesh Baruch Hu. The message to be Ava Hashem. A person lives with an awareness, the fourth theme. Obviously, there's going to be some overlap between the themes. The fourth theme, a person who lives all by themselves, and they live all alone, and there's nobody, they feel that there's nobody taking care of them, there's nobody there for them. It's a very, very lonely life. It's a very scared life. A person who knows there's somebody out there who cares for them, that's very powerful for them. The simcha that we have, because Baruch Hu is looking out for Klal Yisrael. There's a simcha that we have. We have a happiness that the Baruch Hu is there for Klal Yisrael. The Baruch Hu takes care of us. There's a certain simcha that kind of person can know, walk through the day, being aware of the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world, the master of the world, is in charge of Klal Yisrael. Maybe the message you want to give, and the next message is the simcha of doing mitzvahs. Pesach. You know, there's a lot to kvetch about by Pesach. The Seder is late. You have to wait a long time to get to eat the food. There's a lot of cleaning involved. There's a lot of things to kvetch about Pesach. That's one way of looking at it. The Arizal says that all of his awareness of his knowledge of Torah that he had, that phenomenal knowledge that Arizal was able to be zeichel to, he got from the effort he put into doing mitzvahs, and that he did when he prepared for Pesach. That extra effort he put, the extra effort of cleaning the house and making the matzahs properly, and all of the running and stress, etc., was what gave him the schus to know what he had to know. So it's a phenomenal thing to be able to clean for Pesach. It's a phenomenal thing to be able to sit for by the Seder and prepare for the Seder. It's a phenomenal thing to sit and do the mitzvahs of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the message we want to say, you know, we're Zoyach, Baruch Hashem, we are the nation which has Hashem's mitzvahs. So the message we want to give our children is the same code it means to be a Jew. We'll come back to this again. It was interesting. It goes back, I think, 15 years ago when I was first became a Rebbe, I left Perlin and became a Rebbe. So I was a 10th grade Rebbe in Tel Yeshiva. And one of the things that I did was I solicited from various Gedolim. I said, there's one point, that one hashkafa point, one idea of Jewish thought that my 10th grader should walk away at the end of the year. What should I keep banging it away with the whole year? What is the message that you keep telling them? So if I can walk away with, they walked away with one thought, besides learning of Gemara, one basic foundation of Judaism, what should it be? So I asked different people, Ramesh Eisen, Shlita from the Mashiach from Bnei Yisrael, I asked him this question. So he told me that one time there was a Yid, a Talmud Chacham who came to speak in Bnei Yisrael's name, was a prime Siegel. He was the head of the high school in Chaim Berlin. And he spoke in the name of Rav Huttner Zatzal. And he said, the message you have to give to your children is the simcha of doing mitzvahs. The simcha of what it means to be a Jew. So there's something called, a mitzvah called Gaon Yaakov. We mentioned the idea of Gaon Yaakov, the pride of Yaakov. We mentioned it in the paragraph that we say before we blow the shofar. Eis Gaon Yaakov. He says, Throughout the once upon a time, the Jew understood what it means that we are the Am HaNivcha, we're the Am Sgula, we're the chosen people. What has happened over the generations that we lived under the depression of the non-Jews is that the Jew kept his mitzvahs, kept his Torah, but the pride of being a Jew he lost. The idea that we have something extraordinary and special was like I have to do what I have to do, but they got it easier than me, they have it better than me, that was the thought, and that's wrong. And the message you want to give your children, he says, if you can walk away with one thought by the end of the year, he said to me, walk away with the idea that they're proud to be a Jew and they're proud they have Torah and mitzvahs. Life has a purpose. The next theme, you want to say life has a purpose. We leave Mitzrayim, we're free. Really? We went to Har Sinai, we got Torah, we got mitzvahs. We got 613 mitzvahs. We have to keep Shabbos. If you don't keep Shabbos, it's punishable by stealing. It's not peaches and cream. Right? Life has responsibilities. Life has... why does Hashem want us to do that? So Michel Sharma says, because Hashem wants us to be able to get a special reward, which we earned in ourselves, and we're going to feel good about that. And the message of Michel Sharma in Perek Aleph, that life has a purpose. You see, Mitzrayim comes up again and again and again in the Torah. Put on tzitzis, you see, it's Mitzrayim. You see, Mitzrayim is the lesson which we're taught that Hashem is the master of the world. Hashem is the master of the world. We have to serve Him. Okay. Mitzrayim is what's punished. There's reward and there's punishment in this world. There's skar and there's einish. Hakar satoyim. The foundation, when Rabban writes, the foundation of the whole Torah is gratitude. Why do I serve Hashem? Because I have gratitude to Him. The message I want to give my children is that you should be grateful people. You should be happy for what you have. Look at what you have. You have your health, etc. We have so much we can tell our children that they have. But you see, it's Mitzrayim, the foundation of Yitzchus Mitzrayim. It's interesting, Rabbi Ruchel Lubavitch Zatzal says, why do we specifically use the chapter, the verses, which are mentioned in conjunction with the Bikurim? Because Bikurim, what Rashi says, that Bikurim, first fruits, is about a karsatay. Person had his crop, did well, comes to the Shemitah Shavarim, thank you for my wonderful crop. But in the context of that thank you, we don't start now, we look back at the history of Klal Yisrael. We thank not just for this moment, we thank for all of everything which led up to that. Aram Yagadavi, eventually we went down to Mitzrayim, we were in Mitzrayim, it was difficult for us, Hashem took us out, He gave us Eretz Yisrael, He gave him this field, He had a good crop, thank you Hashem. We do that every time we bench. Thank you for lunch. You took us out of Mitzrayim. You gave us bris. You gave us Torah. You gave us life. And you gave us lunch. Thank you for lunch. So lunch isn't just thank you for lunch. That's how a Jew thanks. How do you thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Not just for this is a window into a bigger thank you. And the theme of the night could be Hakar Satoyim. The theme of the night could be we're part of a tzibur. We're part of Klal Yisrael. It's important to live as part of Klal Yisrael, not as an individual person. We say, Avadim Hayinu L'Farav in Mitzrayim. We were Avadim. We were Avadim. Who's we? Who's the we? Klal Yisrael is the we. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Who's the us? The us is Klal Yisrael. We're part of a nation, a tzibur, which exists in this generation, but we belong as part of all of the Christ of all the generations. The Morris says the fascinating idea that the tzibur loy meis, that the tzibur never dies. Individual people die, but the tzibur never dies. So it's one body, there's one corpus of all of the Jews of 40 generations. There's one corpus which we all are part of. And I'm part of that greater tzibur called Thayasa. Another theme is a person can grow from challenges. And we'll talk about that one more at length. And what's one of the ones I want to talk about? That we'll talk about the idea of challenges make us help us grow. Christ didn't have it easy. It wasn't, we're born into the lap of luxury. We could have Avraham Avinu, Nesi Elokim Atavos Okeinu, right? Nesi Elokim, right? He was a prince of the whole world. So his children deserved to have live as princes. No. Russia didn't do that for us. Russia put us through Kura Barza, a smelting pot to see how well we're going to do. Kleisel is Mitzuyanu Sham. Another theme that Kleisel stood up for what Kleisel represents. Kleisel, they didn't change their names, they didn't change their Nalbush. They were Vahisham Legoy, became a nation. Malam Shah Mitzuyanu Sham. Mitzuyanu Sham means they were outstanding, they stood out. Kleisel was willing to stand out and be different and do what the right thing is, and that was not, did not define himself by the people around them necessarily. Akash Baruch Hu is the God of history, the panorama of history. We start with the bottom of Yunu, we came out. No, we start with the bigger picture. We're talking about the Sifri Tzorayim. No, we were up to Berezora, and now we serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We talk about Tzitzit Zorayim, we talk about Beis HaMikdash. We get all the way from Tzitzit Zorayim to Beis HaMikdash. You know, this is the night of Tzitzit Zorayim. No. But we see that in the context of a larger picture. There's a panorama of history being painted in front of us. And many people, especially people, the older generation, talk to the children. My mother-in-law, the Stark sign, many times at the Seder, after the Seder, brothers, she'll talk about what she went through during the war. You know, the difficulties and the yeshuas that she saw from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's all part of this Yitzias Yitzrayim, this Bereshit took us out, and there's a bigger picture. And the last point, a theme I'm suggesting is that gives reasons. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu took off quickly, and there was a rush to get us out at the last moment, it's time to go. Kaisel didn't, the matzah is, it wasn't time to bake it. It's about getting things done with alacrity and with diligence. And that's an important message. So those are some of the themes that I'm suggesting that we could personally could think about to present. Now, I want to take two of them and just walk through a little bit through the Haggadah and give examples of what you could do with it. So I'm going to take the first one and take the growth through challenge. If you decide that's your theme and this message you're going to give to your children, so you start with a marshal. There's a very nice book. I don't remember the name of the book. A children's book, or a young adult book, written by a woman named Lydia Lizevnik. Yeah, she used to live in Baltimore, and she has a story there which I've used by the Seder I think twice already as a marshal to get across a message. I want to mention one idea. You can use the same story again, year to year. There's this idea, which is a new story, a new idea is always exciting, it's fresh, it's attractive. And I want to tell you a story about that. That I was Talmud tells Yeshiva, and the Yeshiva of Gifter, Zichron Livracha, would say over certain stories, and he would say the stories again and again. Not once, not twice, but I'm talking about 10 times, 20 times, 30 times. He would never apologize and he said that he would not say, I've said this before, and he would say it verbatim with the same hand motions almost and the same inflections of his voice. And I remember as a book, I used to think, you know, can't they think of a new story? Like, you know, everybody else has new stories. He doesn't have any new stories. There's people coming to his house all the time. The people coming to discuss issues with him and telling him stories and telling him things. And he always has plenty of new stories. Why is he repeating the same old story? Now, I'm a little bit older now, and I look back, and I can tell you those stories verbatim. Because I heard them from him so many times. And they left a lesson to me. So when I was younger, I thought, you know, it's not kishmak, again and again and again. As I got older, I realized, you know what? That's what you need to do. Because this is the way your kid's going to remember the message. He hears a story once, then he hears another story another time, another message, different. You're not going to remember all of it. You're not going to assimilate that information. If your child knows every year about the Haggadah, you talk about the same theme, you know, he says, oh, come on, Daddy, you know, you can't say something new. He's going to say, but when he hits 35, he's going to say, you know what, I'm telling the exact same stories that my father used to say. Because the message becomes part of the person's being. So there's nothing wrong with repeating these ideas again and again. Okay, so that being said, so she has a story about two fellows who were space cadets. Space cadets is because the Americans decided to colonize various different planets. And there was the West Point was putting out cadets which were able to go out to the various space colonies and colonize these planets. So after a period of training, of course, it's very rigorous training to get into this program. And these people are, you know, it comes the graduation day. Now, the graduation day, besides the graduation, and you know, they get their bars, they also have to pick by lot which talent they're going to go to. So there's alpha, there's beta, there's theta. Now, you did it, they use the Greek alphabet, and of course there's different talents they have to go to. And there's two friends who've been together since high school, and they went to the cadet program and get together. And there's, you know, these two friends, Bob and Jim, right, are out there waiting for their, what are they going to pick? Now, Alpha happened to be was the best colony. Of course, Alpha was, it's what's called Alpha. And Alpha almost looked like Earth. There was sunlight, there was grass. Okay, you know, let's get into the story. You can make it whatever you want. It's emotion, right? Right? You put the seeds into the ground and sprout out by itself almost. It was a great place to live. Now, Iota was a terrible place to go. It was like the last colony. It was the furthest away. Rugged mountains, freezing cold winds, you know, furthest away, difficult place to go. So Bob goes first. Bob pulls out Alpha. He's so excited he pulled out Alpha. He says, I hope you get... Well, of course, Jim ends up with Iota. Now, since Iota was the furthest one, he's like, just like, oh, man, I can't believe this, right? Why me? He's a soldier, so he goes off. He goes off to Alpha, he goes off to Iota. And, of course, on Iota, since the furthest one away, there's always attacks from marauders from outer space trying to capture... It's for kids, right? Right? Trying to capture the colony. So the furthest colony is Iota, and therefore they're going to be... There were attacks on Iota. And he was a leader of men, Jim, and he was... Eventually, people recognized that he's the man who's going to be leading. It was a place which you earned your oats over there. It was hard work producing food even. And there was constantly being on the lookout. Well, one day there's a radio up from Washington that there's an attack on Alpha. And all sectors to report to Alpha immediately that there was going to be an attack on Alpha. Now, Alpha, you know, the guys are living a good life over there. No challenges, no problems. So he immediately flies out. They fly back to Alpha Colony, get ready for the attack. What's their state of preparedness? Nothing. They've been living like this. They can't believe there's an attack. Then it's been great. It's been wonderful. Jim realizes, assesses the situation, and he sizes it up. He takes command. And the others, colonies start coming in, and he gets the men out there, etc. The battle finally comes, and you can describe the battle as much as you want. We're going to skip that to the final limitations over here, depending on how much your kids like, you know, boys or girls, etc. You can decide how much you want to get involved in that part. Okay. Finally, so the battle is finished, and he's been going straight for 36 hours. He's exhausted. He gets a message that there's somebody in the hospital wants to speak to him. So he goes to the hospital, and it's Bob. And Bob has taken a bullet to the lungs, and he's not sure he's going to make it. And Bob says to Jim, starts talking, he says, no, keep quiet. No, I have to say something. He says, what do I have to say? He says, I want you to know that you got the better place. This is your area that has a better place. You've got to see my place before you say that. He says, I don't see the better place. I just have to see you. Challenges make a person grow. And that's the message you can give to your child. Okay. A surgeon goes into surgery, another muscle that you could use. Again, you don't have to use your mind machine, but you know, it's giving you an idea. You can play around with whatever you want, right? The famous muscle surgeon goes into surgery, breaks an arm. He says, what are you doing? He's not breaking the arm. The arm is deformed, and he has to break it to fix it, to be able to reset it properly. It's going to be painful. It's going to be work. It's going to be therapy. And you can elaborate on that type of an idea. Okay, another muscle. Yeah, you have the same type of idea. You have two prisoners who are sent out to Siberia, and one of them is forced to do hard labor, day in, day out, tremendous work, etc. And the second one gets a nice cushy job. He works in the office over there. Right? Finally, they feed him after 17 years. They finally freed him. They try to go back and integrate into society. What does he know? He knows how to work on the factory lines. He knows how to work in the field. He knows how to work in wood. He has something about that knowledge. What does the guy know? He knows how to push. He knows how to sweep the floors inside the house. Who's going to get a better job? So many different mashalim you could use, different points along the way. You can use another mashal to give across the message to your child. Difficulties are good for you. Challenges are good for you. They're not bad for you. Okay, where do you see this in the Agada? There's a fascinating Shabbat from the Torah of Ram. Ram Grudzinski, Hashem Yikum Dama, was killed. He was the last Mashgiach of Sabbatki Yeshiva. He was killed by the Nazis in Akshmon. He says, when you talk, we're Masil B'Ganusim Messiah B'Shvach. We start with the bad part, and we say that, and then we say the good part. Why do we do that? Well, the contrast is good. He says it's more than that. The second Sefer of Chumash is called Sefer. It's called Sefer HaGeula. So, you know, Parshas Bo is Geula. Parshas Ve'eiro is Geula. Parshas Shmos is Geula. Parshas Shmos is Shibut. But what made Kaisel ready to accept the yoke of Hashem? What gave Kaisel the lessons and the ability and the strength to be able to accept the yoke of Omar Koshamayim? They were trained. They were trained to be servants. They were trained to serve. We transfer to being Avde Paro to be Avde Hashem. Halo Avde Hashem, lo Avde Paro, the verse is in the Gil. So the purpose of the Masel B'Gilus and Sai Mishlach is to us understand that the Shibud was good for us. The Gula starts by the Shibud. It doesn't start by the Gula. There's a Machshava from the Talmud of another Yehuda, the name is the Chumay Abba, he says he has that pierce on the Haggadah, and he says he has the following order. Twice in the Haggadah, we talk about Now, what did they say when the Beis HaMikdash was sent? Did they say Pesach Matzah Umar, or did they say Matzah Umar? Same thing in the Brach at the end. We say, Asher Galonim Galav Zavaseinu, and the Bereshim brought us to this night, Lecha Boy. Matzah Umar. Did they say, in the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, did they say it was a nusach of the bracha, lecho by Pesach, Matzah Umar, and we changed it after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Or was the nusach always Matzah Umar? So he suggested the nusach was always Matzah Umar. Because the main message of the night, he says, B'shoshiyesh, Matzah Umar Menachem Lefanecha. That's the message about the Avdus. So the message wasn't that the Pesach represents the Geula, but the main message of the night, he says, look at the Shkoshi Yashiva, look how difficult it was. And there was a gula from that. There's interesting halacha by Morer, that Morer is the Rabbanim Bezman Hazeh. Why? Morer is only eaten deraisa together with the Korban Pesach. Amatzos umroim yokluhu. When you eat the Korban Pesach, then you eat the Morer. Nowadays we don't have the Korban Pesach, we don't eat the Morer deraisa. The Rabbanim, we eat the Morer. What's the message behind that? It's important to talk about the Shibud. It's important to talk about the Shibud. But if there's no Geula, you talk about the Shibud, it just becomes a kvetch. You sit there and you kvetch and you kvetch and you kvetch. No. There's a Geula also. Together with the Pesach, we can talk about the Morer and put it in perspective. Without the Pesach, we're not going to put the Morer in the right perspective. So we shouldn't only talk about the Shibud. Together with the Pesach, you eat the Morer. A second example of this, which we mentioned before, that Rav Huna Zatzal said the message of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a special place in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's world, a special place in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's heart, as it were. Right? We are the special nation of the Amon Nivkar, the Goyin Yaakov, the pride of being a Jew. A muscle for that. Okay? I'll give you two mashalim on that as we go along. Okay, there was once a little boy named Beryl Jacobowitz. Right? Beryl Jacobowitz was Nabok, was a very sad little boy, but this little boy was orphaned from his father and his mother. He was scared. He had this, heard that he had an uncle, didn't know who this uncle was like, his uncle was going to be mean, not going to be mean. He heard some stories, conflicting reports. He's a smart little boy, he was a young little boy. He decided he's going to not going to go to foster care, go to where they're going to send him, he doesn't know. He's going to live on the streets. Besides, he's going to live on the streets. And it's very difficult living on the streets, obviously. He has food, it's very difficult. He has to beg for food. He has to go to the back of the restaurants and seek out the food. He has to hide. Cold is a problem. Rain is a problem. And of course, there's the neighborhood bullies, which are a problem, and the gangs which exist on the street, which are dangerous.
his little boy. On top of all of that, when he goes to bed at nighttime, he's all by himself, just living all by himself in such a sad, lonely life. And this is little Baruch Jacobitz's life. Now, his uncle, which actually was a very nice person, was looking for him. Of course, finding a little boy in the streets of the back streets of Chicago was not an easy thing, to find a little boy in the back streets of Chicago. And he wasn't even sure what city he was in. He knew he was in some city, you know. One day, he could jump in the back of a train and goes nowhere. You don't know. So he's searching across America. Where is Beryl Jacobo? Right? You can't put up on the Google. It's not going to help you. Puts up signs, lost, etc. And he's spending time. And of course, the longer he's taking, the more Beryl is convinced that his uncle doesn't care. The more he's convinced that he must be a mean person. So after a period of time, 2 years after his parents have passed away, and Beryl's become very, very street smart, and he's living all by himself, his uncle catches up with him. So Beryl recognizes the facial features. He says, that man seems like my uncle. He runs the other way. And this mean uncle is coming after him to take him to do who knows, make him do who knows what. He runs the other way. The uncle realizes when he sees the little boy running after him, that's who it has to be. So he runs after him, and obviously he's healthier and stronger and bigger, and he catches up with the young man, and he grabs him. He says, "Leave me go, let me go." He starts screaming, "Please help me, let me try to abduct me." Ah, you know, the whole thing. No. Okay, they're able to convince the police who comes along, they're able to explain to him, shows him ID, Beryl Jacobowitz, and this is his uncle, Yankel Jacobowitz, Baruch Hashem, everything's wonderful. And the kid says, he's terrified. So I'm taking you home with me, boy. And the guy's terrified. What's going to be? What's he going to do? He's going to lock me in a room. He's going to make me work like a slave. He's going to whip me. I don't know what's going to be. The kid's terrified. Now, the uncle is not a stupid person. He realizes that the kid's terrified. He's got to convince the child, convince this little boy, that he really does care about him, and he does love him, and he is there for him. So what's he going to do? Now, Beryl, of course, living in the street, smart kid, little kid, he can, you know, quick, etc., but there's a lot of difficulties living in the street. There's gangs, and of course, there's bullies out there. So the first thing that the uncle does is says, tell me, who you've been having problems with? So Beryl names these two guys who give him a lot of problems. So the first thing the uncle does, you know, gets the two guys and gives them a nice thrashing, works them over. Then he tells them to the police about it. But, you know, first, before I give it to the police, you know, I want to have my own pot shot at you. Okay. So Beryl says, wow, he's a nice guy. He beat up these guys in my hair all the time. Okay. Then he takes them to his house. He gives them food. He gives them a nice bed, gives him nice clothes, cleans him, takes care of everything that he needs. Then he pays his kids, he should go to school. The kids start to get more and more convinced that he really cares about me. He really does. He hasn't forgot about me. He must be that he had a good reason why he didn't get me until then. And then the last thing the uncle does, uncle's older already, uncle sees he's about to pass away, he sets up an annuity for him to make sure that he'll have everything he needs to go on and on and on. Dayenu. Right? Because Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. He punished Mitzrayim. He took care of all of our needs in the Midbar. He gave us the Torah. He taught us how to live. He gave us a basic mitzvah for Kippur al Avosenu. He set us up for the system which is going to keep going in perpetuity. He set everything up. There's the Yehu. Right, what's the message of the Yehu? Look how much you're going to take care of Klai yourself. Look how Beryl felt. Right? Okay. Where do you mention this in the Haggadah? Where don't you mention this in the Haggadah? I mean, the first thing you do in the Haggadah is Kadesh. Asher Bachar Bono Mikolam. Right, that's the first. Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. What about Kodesh Baruch Hu? He shows us all the nations. Ramon and Kol Hashoyim, we can't show him to Zav. Atid Lon Hashem Elokeinu Be'ahava. He gave us with love. Moedim L'Simcha to celebrate. I mean, by the time you finish Kiddush, the message is said 7 times. Right? Moedim L'Simcha V'Sasu. And here Kol Tom, the person gave us a Nachla of Moedim L'Simcha of Simcha and Sasu. Gevaldik. Look what it means. Applies it means to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a special presence of the Moedim to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shehechayonu. Yigiyonu, Baruch Hashem, we made it to this night. We're so happy to be here this night. Baruch Hashem, we're so happy to be here this night to celebrate the birth of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so there's Machlokes in the Gemara, in the Haggadah, Machlokes in Gemara actually, which is recorded in the Haggadah, whether we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes. Do we mention it when Mashiach comes? Okay, so little Beryl Jacobowitz. Uncle passed away. Again, he's by himself, but it's a different type of feeling. He knows Uncle cared about him. The feeling there was somebody there, was always there for him, took care of him. And of course, every year, the day that he was found, which was such a scary day for him, he would think about it, he would sit and contemplate and reflect back to that day, and he would celebrate it. But Beryl was a very, you know, had a lot going for him. He survived a lot of difficult times. And Beryl was he was a pusher. And Beryl moved up in the scale of things. And each year, no matter where he was, he said, you know, you don't have to celebrate what it was. And then you're doing so great now. He said, no, you don't understand. But that's where it all came from. Well, Ahiyayim, Beryl Jacobowitz is elected president of the United States of America. Okay. Beryl Jacobowitz, the president. Beryl Jacobowitz is the new president. President Jacobowitz, right? And he's the president of the United States of America. And he's sitting in the White House and he's celebrating, etc. And what does he do? He pulls out that little story that he always talks about, the fact that he started out with his uncle finding him that day. L'havali Moshe Mashiach. Mashiach's going to come. What's Yetzias Mitzrayim? We go back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. A different mashal. There's a king, and mashalim with kings, by the way, I want you to know, mashalim with kings have an advantage and have a disadvantage. The advantage of mashalim with kings are very powerful. You can get a lot more mileage out of a king than you can get out of a president. Right? Because even presidents, you know, presidents aren't very powerful. It's not powerful, they are, but you know, we can make fun of presidents. You can't make fun of kings. It's not very helpful. Right? It's that. You know, there's a certain respect and awe. Used to there was respect and awe for the president also. That's changed. Right? Right? So, go back about 30, 40 years. It's a different world the way you spoke about the president. On the other hand, kings don't really talk to kids too much because they never saw a king. Never really heard about a king. You know, the kings nowadays, well, you know, the Queen of England, right? You know, no power, no authority. There's a Ger Tzedek who lives in Eretz Yisrael that is from an African nation, an African Jew. He's a Ger Tzedek now. His father was an absolute monarch. He had the power of life and death. And he describes it, but he becomes the royal by him. He has a picture of the most powerful ministers in the country coming and trembling in front of his father. Because the father, who very rarely would do it, because it is, you know, a little more modern nowadays, but he had the power of life and death still. We don't have those kings nowadays. But for this story, we need a king, okay? It's very important we have a king for this story. Okay, so this story, there's a king, and this king is one of the most powerful nations in the world, most prosperous nations in the world, the tremendous amount of resources which are out there, and this king is the king of that nation. He's also a very benevolent king, and a very caring and kind king. And he's interested in all of the citizens. And he has available, you can come and you can make an appointment to meet with the king. Each and any citizen in the country can make an appointment to meet with the king. And when he has time, he schedules people in. And you get a four-hour block of time where you can sit with the king and discuss anything you want. So our friend over here, Ruben, decides, you know, it sounds like a tremendous thing, chance to talk to the king. So he sets up and comes and they ask for an appointment with the royal appointment. They give him an appointment, 6 months hence, obviously, he's not going to see the end of the king. That morning, you know, he's there a few hours before, ready, you know, straightening his tie, checking his jacket, and he's scared. What does it mean? What's going to happen when you walk into the king? No, he walks into the king, and the experience is overwhelming. Here's one of the most powerful people in the world, with tremendous resources at his disposal. A intelligent person, a wise person, a caring person, a sagacious person, focusing in just on him. The king has a very good power of focusing on his citizens. And he was sitting and focused in directly at you, and he would look at you and focus in on you. And you would raise your issues and he would give you advice. And it was such wise advice. And he would offer assistance. He gave the person on the spot. He gave Reuven money. He gave him ideas. He gave him connections. He made some phone calls. He had the guy set up. And when he's sitting there in that room, the feeling that he has is a feeling of warmth. He's being totally taken care of by this most powerful being, the king. He's so, the embrace of the king's love, the king's care, it was such a warm feeling. Now, while he's sitting there in that office, the king says, I'm really worried. You know, you're going to walk out of this office, and we're going to forget about it. You're going to forget about me. Like, you know, the feelings, the emotions will linger around for a few days, but after that, it's going to start to dissipate. So I want to give you a list of things I would like you to do on a regular basis to remind you of that meeting the meeting that we had together. And of course, you can call me whenever you need. I'm always available as much as I can be. All right, but I want you to do certain things. I want you to do a list of things I want you to do on a daily basis to remind you of the fact that you met the king, and to know that I'm there for you. And he gives them a list. You know, there's certain things I want you to do. Certain things I want you not to do. Don't get too involved. I want you to give. I want you to make sure you give a lot of money to a charity. Don't get so worried about the money. The money, I'll take care of the money. I'll help you with the money. So I don't want you to get involved in eating certain types of food. You know, they get you too involved in the pleasure of this world. You know, you're going to lose that delicate sense of living with a higher, somebody more powerful, etc., etc. You get a list of different things. The king, of course, is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that moment is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klai Yisrael is enveloped in the love of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rashi says that Atem Yisrael Eishachur sees him in Mitzrayim. You saw what I did in Mitzrayim. Rashi says they deserved their punish way before you came along. Mitzrayim wasn't the biggest tzaddikim. You know that, right? They were all the Zora, give their riots, terrible things. But I only punish them because of you, because I care about you. Now the Makos, you know, if you want to understand the impact of the Makos on Mitzrayim, the best way to describe the impact of the Makos on Mitzrayim, the Makos on Mitzrayim, each Makos was the equivalent of an atom bomb being dropped on Mitzrayim. The nation is brought to a standstill. They can't do anything. There's no water. There's no water to drink. Animals are dying. People are dying. You can't plant anything. You can't do anything. The economy comes to a standstill. You've taken a whole nation and stopped it. Blood, yeah, red blood in the cup. No. We're talking about, Russia wiped out Mitzrayim at the first Makos. Why did he do it? Because of you. Because of Klal Yisrael. The second Makos, Svadeya, right? According to Rabbi Sifkin, that Svadeya is not a fraud. It's a Nile crocodile. Right? I don't know where he's right or he's wrong, but if it's that old picture of claws clawing through bodies, right, you couldn't do anything. Etc., etc., etc. The Makos Bukharis. Russia took the most mighty nation in the world. We know what it means. An absolute monarch. And brought it to its, not to its knees, buried it. You don't hear of Mitzrayim again for another 500 years. Mitzrayim just doesn't exist on the planet. Why? For you. Because I care about you. He took us to Har Sinai, opens up the Shemayim, opens up the Oretz. There's nothing else but living with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he gives us a list of things to remember. Don't get too involved in Olam Hazeh. Don't forget me. And that's the mushel which you see. That's the night of Pesach. And the Pesach, you see, it's Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu was there for Klal Yisrael. You know what? It's been difficult for Klal Yisrael. You know what? We're still here. 4,000 years. We're still here. Where's Mitzrayim? Where's Rome? Where's Greece? Where's the Persian Empire? Where are they? They're gone. Yeah, there's people live there now. That's us. They're no shackles to the original people. They're not the original people. Klal Yisrael is still here. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu cares about Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu is there for Klal Yisrael. That's an awesome message. In every which way you can translate the word awesome, right? Right? For a child to hear the night of Pesach. Where do you want to say it in the Gada? You can put it wherever you want. Lo Yerei Malach, Kodesh Baruch Hu does it himself, not through a Malach. Yetzirah Hashem in Mitzrayim. You get to the Makos, you know, the old Haggadahs, I don't really do that anymore, the old Haggadahs, now the arts will take over, you know, but the old Haggadahs, It used to be in this little Rashi script, Hebrew line, right before you get to the Makas, it says the 10 Makas, it says, you should elaborate on the Makas according to your ability. That's what it says over there, you know. By the time we get to the Makas, because we talked about so much earlier, who has time to elaborate about the Makas? You know, it's Dom, Tzerdeya, Kinnan, you know, because it's got to get ready. You know, especially with Makas, it's always very late, etc. You know, the meat of the Haggadah is the Makas. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu showed his love requires. So, in every single asset, every single facet, in every single way, what it messages, the power of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is unleashed in the world for Klal Yisrael. So, the Rambam says, if you want to know where to elaborate, starting from Rami Ovid Avi, he says, Kol Amar B'Lasaper, he translates that halacha, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, he translates that halacha, Kol Amar B'Lidrash B'Parshas, Rami Ovid Avi, Reza Meshubah. So the place where you're supposed to start really getting into it and adding it and elaborating and talking is when you start from the pasuk of Arami Yavid Avi. So then it's all introduction. Okay, now we're ready to talk. We went down to Mitzrayim, of course the Lord took us out. Let's talk about it. Call it Marvel, and any basis on the Gemara. That one last thought. We talk about a geula. Pesach is a geula. So Rav Hirsch has a fascinating ha'ara, which the Maral also said. What does the word goyel mean? What does the word goyel mean? Where do you find goyel in the Torah? You find the goyel in Rus, right? They talk about who's the goyel. Is the goyel Boyaz? Is the goyel Ploni Almoni? In Parshas Behar, there's a goyel. The person sells his field, he's down and out, comes the relative who's the goyel, and redeems the field. So Rav Hirsch has a fascinating thought. We call you, so goes down. It goes down to Mitzrayim. They're told beforehand. By Avraham Avinu was told by the priest of the Sardin, "Higeri Yisrael Eretz Yisrael." They're going to be Gerim. They're going to be aliens. Va'avodim. They're going to cause them to be slaves. Ve'inosam. Some they're going to afflict them. There's three stages: Ger, Avdus, Inui. We come to Parshas of Era. The worst is taken out first. When it says Yisrael mitachas sidlois Mitzrayim, the inui, the burden, the overwhelming, crushing burden. When it says Yisrael mitachas sidlois Mitzrayim, v'itzalti yaskem me'avodah som, I can take away that void of the avdus. V'go alti yaskem. So go alti yaskem is the opposite of gerus. A ger, an alien, is somebody that nobody cares about. You're an alien, citizen, can't touch. If I start with a citizen, everybody gets upset. What's that? I start with him. What is he going to mean next? I have a vested interest to make sure the citizens are taken care of. Gair, alien, who cares what happens to him? So he gets deported. Right? Illegal immigrant. No. That's like a farewell, right? That's Pyro thinks you can do whatever you want with Klal Yisrael. They're gairim. Comes to the problem and says, one second, excuse me. B'ni b'chori Yisrael. I'm the goel. I'm the relative who comes when you think my relative is down and out and he's sold out of the field. And you can do whatever you want with the guy because he's a nobody, he has nothing. I'm here for him. I'm the uncle. I'm the cousin who will come to redeem that field. So the goyel is the relative who sticks up for his relative. That's what a goyel is. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, "I'm the goel. I'm the relative." The message, the first message, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro is "B'ni b'chari Yisrael." Not there's a Jewish nation. Not there's a Jewish nation. Not that there is some tzaddikim. B'ni b'chari, my firstborn. That's the message that Baruch Hu says to Paro. That's the Sholmach and the Paro. Well, you know, who are you playing with? Playing with my kid. Buddy, set up with my kid, buddy. Right. That is the message of the Chavivus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. The message of the Night of the Seder, one of the messages, again, is B'ni B'chari Yisrael. Okay. We hit our time. There's obviously much more to talk about. We went through two of the themes, and we went through how you can use those themes. Some are showing for them, some ideas for them, some places in the Gada where you can insert them and talk about them. But it's something which we have to be effective. We have to feel these things ourselves. You can't wait for the night of the Seder, obviously. We have to be feel excited about these, passionate about these points also. And a person should pick a point, whatever point you pick, something you feel really is important to Yiddishkeit, something you want to impart to your children, so much a message you want to make sure that they walk away with. And now that you have your target, take out the Haggadah and say, okay, where in the Haggadah, if you're right, If you were good, you'll find it in the gutter somewhere. You'll find it somewhere in the gutter. And if you want, you have all the children, you can say, here's the theme. See if they can find something in the Haggadah. Let them try and find it also. Give them two themes. Give them three themes. Okay, where can you find this idea in the Haggadah? And you can make a challenge for that. There's many different things you could do. Throughout the boys, the Derech B'Kudecha says all the Yigimel Ikrim of Amuna are found in the Haggadah. So I had my children talking to them. I had the Yeshiva boys that came for the Suda. I said, you know, I don't talk to Yeshiva boys on the Suda. Because my focus is my children. Tonight, it's about the kids. You're spectators. During the meal, we can schmooze a little bit. Because why you don't have to listen to everything I say. You want to think about something, you want to look at Pirushim, you want to think about whatever you want. But I'm going to give you a challenge. See if you can answer this. Find me the Yud Gimel Ikrim in the Haggadah. All of the 13 principles of faith of the Rambam, the says, are found somewhere in the Haggadah. Okay, gave him a challenge. Then he came up with all 13 of them. I'm not sure I wrote all 13 myself. I didn't tell him that. Right? I have some ideas, most of them. Rosh Shapiro, in his Sefer about Amun, actually has all 13, how all 13 are found in Yisrael Mitzrayim, not in the Haggadah. But he says all 13 are there in the Haggadah. Nope. A great challenge. Any challenge you want, take an idea, throw it out to them, throw it out to yourself, do it. We bet you should be Zoycha, that we came yet again, Hashem Elokeinu, to Moedim, the Regal Makerim, where we're going to be Zoycha, to be Maza, the Dam of the Karban Pesach on the Mizbeach, and we'll sit in Yerushalayim, our Kurdish, Beherav Yemenu.